Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Good Saturday morning, man. We're getting into fall, hoping for a little lower temperatures and some college football on a Saturday. We've got some fun things ahead of us, and I'm joined by my colleague, business partner, and friend of 35 years, the amazing Mike Carter. Hey, Mike, how's your weekend lining up?
It's looking good. Enjoying the fall and excited about what's ahead. Although I did just recently buy a new phone and I'm trying to get everything synced and working up again. And so I'll probably spend a little time on that.
You know, when we were kids, when you bought a new phone, it meant that you went from a rotary dial to a push button, or maybe it went from one type of plug to another, or a speaker phone or whatever. But it didn't have the complications that phones do today,
no,
did it?
Not at all. And the phones now think, they are probably smarter than me. So it keeps prompting me to do things and connecting to different things. And I'm trying to figure out what it's doing right now.
Yeah. Well, have you used your phone today?
It gets used
GPS,
all the time.
Email. Yeah. When was the last time it did the update? When you bought a brand new phone, the first thing it does, it takes a half hour just to update to the new operating system.
No, I got an app the other day. You know, I have a high carbon usage, like one of our other friends on the show here.
High carbon lifestyle, Jason Isaac.
Yeah, so I've got the big gas tank in my pickup truck's 34 gallons. When I have to fill that, I kind of look at Gas Buddy to say, oh, well, where's the cheapest place to fill this tank? And all of a sudden it pops up, new software applications. If you do not agree with this, do not sign up.
Yeah,
and
I know.
And it created fear because I'm like, well, why were they that obvious in it? What are they hiding now? And I didn't have time to read it, but now I'm like, do I even need this app on my phone anymore?
The one that bugs me the most is when I see that my Bible app is updating. I mean, what are they changing the Bible on me? And then they want me to agree to a term of service. Now, I just had my watch update, and I had to agree to a new terms of service. You know, of course, it takes just a second. You click, I agree, and everything's going to be fine, right? This time, I decided to actually open the document and read it. It was only 531 pages, written in 38 languages.
Wow. Which language did you read it in?
I read it in English. That's the only one that I'm actually fluent in.
530 pages. Whatever it is in English. I remember getting that. I think I was just charging the phone, and it popped up about that, and I started to read it. It's like, okay, well, what's going to be in here? And, of course, it's impossible to read. It was good to go to bed as it was charging reading.
Well, not that I speak Cherokee, but my daughter does. And so I looked to see if Cherokee was an option, and it's not an option of the 38 languages. But let me quote from it. Here's some of the English I want to quote from it, because we're going to be talking today about terms of service and the legal implications, the economic implications. You know, what do we do about the fact that to live a modern life, you have to agree with a big company that's written, they've got a team of lawyers writing these things. Let me read it to you. It says, important, by using your Apple Watch, you are agreeing to be bound by the following terms: Apple Watch OS software license agreement, Apple Pay, supplemental terms and conditions, notices from Apple, Apple Inc., Apple Watch OS software license agreement, single-use license. Please read this software license agreement, license carefully, before using your Apple Watch or downloading the software update, which happens automatically. I set it to happen in the middle of the night, accompanying the license. By using your Apple Watch or downloading a software update as applicable, you're agreeing to be bound by the terms of this license. If you do not agree to the terms of this license, do not use the Apple Watch or download the software update. So you wake up in the morning, it's updated, and you want to see what time it is, or your alarm was set the night before. It won't wake you up until you agree that you're going to be bound by whatever it is that they've told you.
You know, it used to be whenever I had any legal documents, it's like, well, I'm not going to sign this until I have a lawyer look at it. Now it's like you don't even have it. You couldn't, if a lawyer did look at it, you couldn't do anything about it.
Well, you can. It says if you've recently purchased an Apple Watch and do not agree to the terms of service, you may return the Apple Watch within the return period to the Apple Store or authorized distributor where you obtained it for a refund, subject to their refund policy.
Yeah, I think my two-year-old watch probably doesn't in the return policy anymore. What do you think?
No. And your two-year-old watch is one that's in dire need of an update, right?
Exactly.
The software, including boot ROM code, embedded software, and other third-party software document. There is literally 531-page document that has all of this. You consent to them using your data. By using this, you Apple may download and install automatic software updates on your Apple Watch. If you want to turn them off, you have to have a PhD in computer science to find the right setting to turn off the automatic updates. And if you don't turn them off and it gets updated, you can't use your watch until you agree, which means you can't get the benefit. I bought the watch to make my life easier, and the terms of service seem to be making it more complicated.
Yeah. And I saw one the other day that really concerned me because it's going to cost me money. Not only am I giving up my freedoms, but one that cost me potentially money, and that some of the car manufacturers are recording my history electronically now and sharing that with insurance companies.
And you will click through and agree to it because it's like you're buying a car and you sign your life away when you're doing that. I mean, this is good. So here's our scripture for today, Leviticus 19:15 in the English Standard Version. You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. Does our legal system do that? Or do we favor the rich and powerful, like the big company like Apple or the car manufacturer, at the expense of ordinary people and the poor? It's a real issue.
Yeah, we talk about that. I mean, there's a crony capitalism. There's big money that's controlling a lot of things that Main Street America no longer really has a voice in. And these are examples of that, because I can't really deny terms of service on some of these products that I have. I mean, Microsoft, can I really do business without, you know, Microsoft products on the software?
We're going to read their terms of service. They're scary. You can't even toast bread in your new toaster or make coffee without agreeing to some term of service. I mean, there's not, you can't hail a cab. You're going to use Uber, and so you're going to have to agree to that. You can't buy tickets for a movie. You can't, I mean, there's so many things that we do ordinarily in life that you're having to agree to be bound by terms of service. We're getting bound a lot, and it's all about the money. And there are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, spend it, or invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, a mobile phone company, supports the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. And we're blessed to have an AM radio station that you can tune to in your car until they take that away from us or at home. But if you went on the internet to listen to it as a podcast, you probably clicked a term of service that allowed you to be able to listen, and you are bound by that.
Non-disclosure, we did not write any of those.
No, we did not. Well, did you hear about the Disney case? This is one we're going to talk to in length after the break. But there's a Disney case that is a term of service case. Have you heard about this?
Briefly. I remember hearing something about allergies or peanut thing.
Yeah, so this is near and dear. I have friends and family that are peanut allergic, and so we've been to Disney, actually, and they promise this is safe here, this don't eat this here, and you know, they're real good on disclosure of it. But there is a man and his wife, they recently dined at a Disney property restaurant, not owned by Disney, Disney property restaurant. She had food allergies. She was assured that her food would be safe. And she had dairy and nut allergies. Promise, it's going to be safe. Sadly, it was not. When they ended up in the hospital and she died shortly thereafter, She was a doctor. It's just tragic. So the man began a lawsuit, and he included Disney in his suit.
Wow. Did he? And I'm sure he won.
Well, it's still pending in the courts. What Disney did to deny him the ability to sue, though, is just unbelievable. It was covered in a BBC report. It is such a horrific story. Can you imagine going to Disney with your spouse and assured that the food is safe? You eat it, and there's a term of service that plays into this. After she ate it, she died. And the man was distraught. He sued the restaurant, and he sued Disney. And Disney said, no, you agreed in terms of service. And we're going to get into exactly where he agreed, which is the shocking part. But you agreed in terms of service that you will not sue us.
Small and he just clicked through to do it.
Yeah, wow. The big corporations are manipulating small technicalities through the terms of service. This is economic warfare. We'll cover more right after this break.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, we're talking about terms of service, the things you just automatically agree to because I want to use my new app or I want to watch my new television or I want to open my new watch or whatever, toast my new toaster, right? And we click through. We agree to them all the time. And they're lengthy, like 531 pages just to, and they tell you you're supposed to read it. Now, it's in 38 languages. I can only read one language. I assume that the other languages say the same thing. I hope that's true. But there's no way to really tell. So you read page after page after page. It takes a good amount of time, and then you can finally see what time it is.
Yeah, but when I go to vote, you know, I'm not capable of having my own ID or reading any real instructions.
Yeah, no. In voting... in voting, we assume you're stupid, but if you want to do anything in society, you've got to be
I need a law PhD. Degree from Yale.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so we were talking about the Disney tragedy, where a man and his wife went to Disney. She had food allergies. She was assured that the food was safe. It turns out it was loaded with dairy allergens, nut allergens. She tragically died in the hospital. And then the husband sued Disney along with the restaurant. It was a Disney property, but it wasn't a Disney-owned restaurant. And Disney initially, according to the BBC, Disney Plus terms prevent allergy death lawsuit, Disney says. Basically, what they said was that the man had downloaded Disney Plus and streamed it on a trial basis. And it had term of service, and the term of service said you would never sue Disney for any reason whatsoever.
Wow.
They got away with it for a little bit. His lawyer complained, the people complained and everything. He was suing Disney for a sum in excess of $50,000 plus legal costs. And Disney wanted the case in the court halted, according to the BBC, and for the dispute to be resolved out of court in arbitration. And yes, the 2019 terms of service for a free trial essentially said you wouldn't sue. But should companies be allowed to do that, take away your rights if they give you bad products or fraudulent products?
No, not at all. But all too often that happens today. And legal firms are often tied into all these corporations. And because of conflicts of interest and who they represent, even if you wanted to sue them, it's hard to find somebody to come on the other side of that. Main Street America is losing their voice.
They are. Disney did, because of the public outcry, they did relent from following public pressure. They did not say that they were wrong in their legal theory. They just said, no, we're going to let you out of that. We're going to unbind you from that and let you go ahead and sue us. Here it is.
Just from a brand safety perspective, because they didn't want to take the pressure.
NBC News, Disney backpedals on saying man can't sue over wife's death because he signed up for Disney Plus. All right, that was August 20th. But here's the thing. Generally, Disney in the past, what they'd done is they would pay a large amount of money. And then they would make them sign a non-disclosure agreement so they wouldn't tell the world what had happened. And that's what happened when there have been deaths on rides and different right. things. Here, they took a different approach. Here's a quote, though, from that NBC News article. The law expresses a preference for enforcing arbitration agreements as long as they are not fraudulent. Often people don't remember or care that they clicked, signed an arbitration agreement at the time they sign up for some service. But as long as the person was clearly notified at the time they were signing one of those agreements, they will be enforceable.
Wow.
Would it have held up? Harvard Law weighed in and they said, does signing up for Disney Plus mean you can never sue the Disney company? And they went back and forth on it. Bottom line is the company being fraudulent or not? Are they properly disclosing it or not? Do you have a right to give away your right to sue? And that's not been decided in the court. Disney just withdrew their objection to the lawsuit and let it go forward.
Well, the happiest place on earth doesn't sound quite as happy, but at least they gave in a little bit on this one.
Yeah, well, here's the problem is even if Harvard's analysis says, well, you know, individuals, the law is more on the side of the individual, which I'm not sure that it is. Big companies have big attorney firms and they can outspend you and they can drive you into bankruptcy if you can't keep up with them. They have legal firepower. And it's just the beginning of the issues. It shows where things are headed. We tend to accept convenience and give up liberty. Big corporations run roughshod over our rights. We own nothing eventually, like World Economic Forum. We used to buy movies and you'd own the movie. Now you don't own the movie, you stream the movie, and then you sign away your right to sue if you stream the movie. And we lose all our privacy because these terms of service allow these big companies to monitor us as well.
Well, speaking of privacy, I was driving. In fact, you and Marnie won an award last month, and was driving out there for that award banquet, and I was using Waze, and I'm looking at it, and all of a sudden, the odometer reading, it'll show you how fast you're driving versus my car. It was off by 20 miles an hour, so I was doing 70, but on Waze, it showed I was doing 90. I started to almost panic. I'm like, this is going to they're probably monitoring me. They're going to report this to my insurance company and raise my rates at some time. That's going to be because of a software glitch. But who knows? But I normally wouldn't think about that. But because of all this stuff here that we're seeing, it becomes, okay, what are they going to do with that information?
Yeah. No, and you worry about that. Initially, you sign a term of service. What if you're vigilant and you read the term of service? I can agree to that. I can live with that. And then they change the terms of service. Have you had some of those updates to the terms of service? They notify you, and you get so many of them that if you spent time doing all of them, you wouldn't have time for living.
Yeah. Well, it's usually happening when you have work to do, and it's like, okay, I can't get on and get anything done until I agree to this, and I just got to get it done, and I don't have time to read it. And if I did... If I thought it could actually influence or change it or redline it and have a conversation with them, I'd be reading it more carefully. But instead, it's almost monopolistic. There's no other choice. I've got to do it.
You don't have a choice. And here's rocketlawyer.com. Your rights if a business changes its terms of service. A business term of service could include a clause in which the user waives the right to be notified about future changes. So you can actually give away your right to be notified. A customer is not obligated to agree to a new or changed term of service. If they do not agree, however, the business might be within its rights to stop providing services to that customer. Anyone who uses a smartphone has probably encountered updates. It is usually not possible to continue using an app or the device itself without agreeing to the new terms. Is that fair? You buy a phone 1 year, you agree to the terms of service, and then 2 years later, they tell you, well, we've changed our terms of service, and then all of a sudden, you're stuck. You can't use that expensive phone you bought.
Doesn't seem fair to me.
Are changes to terms and conditions legally binding if not signed? Any change to a contract requires the agreement of all parties or proof that one or more parties waive their right to consent to changes. In most cases, a user will have to agree to change on term of service before they're enforceable, unless you gave up that right. It is rare these days for anyone to agree to a company's term of service by actually signing something. A signature is not the only way to show that you've agreed. Just continuing to use the device proves that you've agreed with the term. This is economic warfare. It's taking advantage of young people. It's taking advantage of busy people. And it's taking advantage of seniors.
Yes.
Okay. What people are not young, busy, or seniors?
I think there might be some new genders people that we haven't figured out yet, but I think we've identified all of them.
Yeah. All right. So maybe that brief summer between when you graduate college and you start your job, maybe you've got 2 months that you take and you're not busy during those 2 months. For the rest of us, you're either young, you're busy, or you're retired. Yeah. And even retired people are too busy to focus on all this.
Yeah. And again, it comes down to, even if you're focused on it, what can you do about it? I mean, if you want to have that service, it's not like there's alternatives out there that I can really pick easily. You're pretty much locked in, especially in some of these things like Microsoft Excel and Word and PowerPoint, even my iPhone. I mean, I'm going to have a phone. I don't have a lot of other options. We're stuck with it.
Yeah, and if you use websites, among the 500 most visited websites which use sign-in wrap agreements in September 2018, this is in Wikipedia, 70% of the agreements had average sentence length over 25 words. Hmm. That means they're complicated, where 25 or less is needed for consumer readability. So if the marketing department were writing the terms of service, they'd be legible. It's the legal department writing them. And it's 25 words. 70% actually, median FRE, flesh reading ease score, was 34, and over 60 is considered readable by consumers. And then the next one is the flesh Kincaid score was 15 years. You have to have 15 years of school to be able to understand 498 of the 500 websites had scores higher than the recommended eighth grade reading level. So basically, these are written for college age people. And, you know, I'm not even sure I could read some of those college textbooks that I studied, you know, 45, 50 years ago. Yeah. So these are designed to not be understood or read easily. Among 216 mass market consumer software license agreements, which existed in both 2003 and 2010, the medium scores were 33 in both years, with a range from 14 to 63. Even this is confusing me. I can't even understand how complicated they are, because they're that complicated. The median number of words rose from 1,152 to 1,354, with a range of 33 to 8,406. That means they're very long, just like that Apple agreement that was, you know, how many pages did I say?
Yeah.
500 pages or something? 531 pages.
Well, it feels hopeless again, and it gets back to it feels like we're being set up to where you will own nothing and be happy, and we're going to tell you how you can use it, and eventually it might even be telling us when we can use it, and it might be based upon, you know, you might not be able to use it if, for example, there's some kind of language they determine is not feasible or right.
Yeah, well, this isn't biblical. In the Bible, it says Leviticus 19:15, you shall do no injustice in court. This is a legal matter, and they're doing injustice. They're stacking the odds against us to be able to defend ourselves, just like in that Disney situation. And they're being partial to the rich and the great, and harming the poor and normal average Americans. That's what we're facing here in 2024 and beyond. I don't think see terms of service getting fewer or easier. I see them getting more complicated, and I see them being added wherever we go. You go to a restaurant and use their menu, you'll probably have to sign a term of service.
Yeah, I mean, it gets back to what we've talked about all the time. Main Street America no longer has their voice. It comes down to, you know, the amount of money or the amount of people that are represented by a certain thing that have some kind of power. And the only way we fight back on these things is by standing together and working on key initiatives that are going to allow us to get our voice back.
Yeah, there's a political solution, there's a legal solution, there's a consumer solution, and there's a money solution. Because terms of service, we'll get into it after the break, but central bank digital currency is headed towards us like a freight train that has terms of service. It's going to determine what you can buy, when you can buy, how you can buy, and if you do buy, how are you bound or limited? This is what's headed for us in 21st century America.
Terms of service with our future currency or money.
Yeah, no, it's frightening. We're going to talk more about this after the break. It is not justice, it's injustice, and it's against our liberty. We stand for liberty, security, and values. More after the break.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
We're talking about justice from the Bible. It's Leviticus 19:15. You shall do no injustice in court. That means legal matters. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. But we have a system in America. It's an electronic system. And to participate in the electronic economy, you have terms of service. Whether you're doing banking apps or whether you're looking at your watch or getting a taxi or ordering food on Uber Eats or something like that, you have to agree to a term of service. And these are not just, as we're talking about, and they're traps. A man at Disney with his wife got trapped into something. Now, he got out of it because Disney let him out of it. But bottom line is, you click and agree, and you do deal with these, don't you, Mike?
All the time. All of us do. But again, there's a sense of what can we do about it? And getting to those solutions is the hard part. But those are the types of things that we're working on. They're not overnight solutions. Some of them are, though, in the very near future, things we can be working on now to help have some type of response back.
Well, I saw this. It's a graphic. It says terms of service. You have the fine print, and it's, you know, detailed, and it's impossible to read, and then the translation. When you post your content here, we can do whatever we like to it forever without any notice to or permission from you. All right, here's from Berkeley, you know, well-known law school in California, high school at Berkeley. It said, every time I go to a new website or online service, there's a pop-up of a terms of service agreement and privacy policy. And it's a press, I agree without thinking about it. 2017 study by Deloitte found that 91% of consumers accept the terms and conditions without reading them. Only 1% of subjects in a social experiment actually reading the terms of conditions. The other 99% of survey respondents actually agreed to absurd things from the terms and conditions, like permission to give their mother full access to their browsing history, the name rights to their firstborn child, the ability to invite an FBI, a personal FBI agent, to Christmas dinner for the next 10 years, and so forth. I mean, that's humorous, but we don't know. They're not in there.
But you're a lawyer. If you're a corporate lawyer and you're challenged to write something and you see this, you're like, well, they're not reading it anyhow. Why don't I just overreach and make this as protective and overreaching as possible? Because that just protects my company and my job.
Yeah, and when you post anything on the internet, you give up your legal rights, family photos, you give up the rights to those, personal information. The lawyers have us because they know we're not going to read it, and they're being paid to write this stuff. So it's a disadvantaged situation. It's injustice. Here's the scarier part. When you post your content, yes, that's scary, but you may be handing your service provider the right to cancel you and deny you service. I got this. I just recently read the term of service update from Microsoft. They just updated their terms, and almost everyone uses Microsoft. 3 years ago, 1.2 billion people worldwide use Microsoft, which I would guess is a huge percentage of actual computer users, and the company's worth $3 trillion, and 1.3 million American companies use Microsoft products. So I don't think we're in a fair, balanced position here. Well, according to Financial Post, with more than a billion people using Microsoft Office product or service, if you cut them off, you could literally put them out of business. Do you remember back in the old days when computers first came out, you would buy that package software first on floppy disks,
yes.
And you'd plug it in and you owned that software. That was yours. And now you don't own anything.
Yeah.
You just have a useless
system. It wasn't even that long ago with Microsoft. You know, I had Microsoft Word and Excel, and I remember having that for 5-6 years. Maybe there's a few updates, so I better update it. But then it went to software as a service, and I own nothing. And they control everything, and I have to pay every year. Now, yeah, is there ongoing updates and probably security features? Yes, but I can't own it anymore.
No, you don't own it. You'll own nothing by the year 2030, and you'll be happy, according to the World Economic Forum. And Bill Gates, of course, the founder of Microsoft, he's pretty chummy with the World Economic Forum types.
Right. I like that Constitution clause better, the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Can we hold on to that one?
Yeah, no, that's the opposite of, it used to be life, liberty, property, or pursuit of happiness, and now they say you'll own nothing, and your pursuit of happiness will be because you own nothing, and I don't buy it. All right, so I copied and read the terms from Microsoft. They are so complex that they have a FAQ section associated with the terms of service. And it says, we're updating the Microsoft Service Agreement, which applies to your use of Microsoft consumer online products and services. We're making these updates to clarify our terms and ensure that they remain transparent for you, as well as to cover new Microsoft products, services, and features, and cover our, well, behind at Microsoft. These updates, which are summarized below, will take effect on September 30th, 2024. If you continue to use our products or services on or after that date, you agree to the updated terms of services. And they list the terms of service and the changes. To see all the changes, they recommend that you read the full Microsoft Service Agreement, which is kind of amazing because they estimate the reading time is 55 minutes and 14,268 words. And the first thing it has is binding arbitration, just like that Disney clause. So bottom line is, you're stuck with this.
Now, even if I didn't accept it, but I and usually there's something where you have to accept it to use it, but they put a backup clause in there. Even if I don't accept it, if I'm still using this, I'm held accountable to it.
If you just use it.
Yeah.
If you just use it. Because you don't own it. That's theirs. They own, and they're giving you permission to use it as long as you agree to their terms. All right, so.
Now, the good thing is it's Microsoft. So, I mean, like, they wouldn't go through and look at my data and determine that anything was approved or not approved.
Yeah, no, it's Microsoft. And you own your own content. It says right up, number one, it's binding arbitration. The number two clause is you own the content. But underneath that, it says, Many of our services allow you to create, store, or share your content or receive material from others. We don't claim ownership of your content. Your content remains yours and you're responsible for it. But they go on and say, you represent warrant that for the duration of these terms, you have and will have the, all the rights necessary for your content that is uploaded, stored, or shared, which I get. They don't want you violating the law. But they go on and say, to the extent necessary to provide the services to you and to others, to protect you and the services, and to improve Microsoft products and services, you grant to Microsoft a worldwide and royalty-free intellectual property license to use your content, for example, to make copies of, retain, transmit, reformat, display, and distribute via communication tools your content on the services. They have a use right to everything that you own. They say you own it, but they said, but you give us full permission to use it however we want to, whenever we want to. Does that sound fair?
I'm not excited. In fact, I kind of dozed off just trying to understand what you're saying there.
I'm saying that if you draw a picture and you put it on Microsoft, they have the right to use that picture any way they want to. And they also have the right to inspect under code of content. Number three, you're accountable for your conduct and content when using the services. As by agreeing, you agree to don't do anything illegal, don't engage in activity that exploits and harms, blah, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. More than the Ten Commandments and don'ts. And then you get down to number seven, don't engage in activity that is harmful to you. Who's going to determine what's harmful to you? The services or others? And they give you examples. Don't transmit viruses. Okay, I buy that. I don't want to transmit viruses. No stalking. I don't want to stalk. No trying to generate or sharing the content that harasses, bullies, or threatens others. Posting terrorist or violent extremist content. Communicating hate speech or advocating violence against others. Wait a minute.
What if you put a
Bible verse? Yeah. What if you post a Bible verse that others find harasses them? This is why recently they've said that if you bought a Bible, you go on a terror watch list. What if you're communicating hate speech by saying, oh, I'm so proud of my son. He found a beautiful girl, and God bless them both. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Oh, that might harm someone or frighten them or bully them or threaten them. Or maybe it's hate speech. What if you post that? You've just given Microsoft the right to look at anything on your computer, to use anything on your computer, and to report you, essentially, for anything that they think is illegal, and then they can shut you down if they find hate speech on your computer.
It's almost like they're working with all the three-letter agencies. I'm sure it'll start out for a good cause, but it's feels more like a lot of overreach happening here.
Yeah, they're conforming to the government. It's government and private business collusion to mandate DEI potentially, ESG potentially, and you're agreeing not to sue in court in front of a judge. Class action lawsuits, class-wide arbitrations, private attorney general actions, requests for public injunctions, and other proceedings or requests for relief where someone acts in a representative capacity aren't allowed, nor is combining individual proceedings within the consent of all parties. What that means from legalese, let me just translate, it means you can't sue them for anything. You can't join with others. If their software harms you, their software somehow steals from a bank and it goes through your computer and the FBI shows and knocks at your door and takes everything you own and you want recourse because it was Microsoft's fault, you can't sue them back. And if it happens to 10 million people, you can't combine together and sue them. It puts all the power on behalf of the big corporation.
Are you sure that this wasn't, when you were reading the different languages in terms of service, you're sure this wasn't the one from Russia or China?
North Korea. But no, this is the English. And it literally, it's 55 minutes. We've just barely scratched the surface of what you read in mind-numbing detail, in taking over an hour, written in language that it requires 15 years of schooling to understand or grasp. This is Microsoft, and this is just to be able to get your email.
But think about this. If I am North Korea or China or one of those, what would really be different other than the state owns the company?
There'd be no difference. And in China, in fact, could be a Microsoft product, and they'll conform to Chinese law, which means you wouldn't say anything negative to the regime. And they might say if you said something about Vice President Harris running for president. Oh, that's misinformation. She said she wants to ban fracking. Well, she did say that. We have her on tape. But she says, no, I didn't say that. I'm not going to ban fracking. That's misinformation. Snopes would tell you you're wrong. Microsoft cuts you off. Can't even get your email. Talk to your kids. Use Skype. All the different Microsoft products.
All right. Do we get to solutions on some of this stuff?
Yeah, well, it gets scarier, and then it'll get better.
Okay.
The scarier part is Microsoft can inspect your computer, find what they deem as hate speech, cut you off, turn you in. It's like social credit scores in China. But central bank digital currency, that's just getting email. What about just using money? With central bank digital currency, that is coming.
Yes.
It's coming in 100 and some nations. It's coming in the United States. There was an executive order by Biden in March of 2022 that basically mandates that it's coming. When that happens, you don't own your own money. It's like the money in your wallet's not yours. You just have permission to use it when they give you permission, and they can deny permission on a purchase-by-purchase basis.
Unless your state has pirate money, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, next.
Yeah, we'll talk about central bank digital currencies. We'll talk about the solution, which is pirate money. We'll talk about both of those and how to beat the terms of service right after this break.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And I'm joined by my colleague, Mike Carter. We've been talking about Disney and how if you downloaded a free trial of Disney Plus, there's a term of service that says you can never sue Disney. And they tried to enforce it against a man whose wife died at a restaurant at a Disney shopping center, Disney Springs in Florida. And he tried to sue because they promised that her food was allergen free and it actually had the allergens in it. And she died in the hospital shortly thereafter. And Disney Plus said, you can't sue us. You happened to get a free trial of Disney Plus 3 years ago. And then they finally relented and allowed the lawsuit to proceed, but they didn't deny that they had a right to dismiss it. And then we talked about Microsoft and how the terms of service, you know, take you an hour to read them before you could get your email. You'd have to sit down for an hour and read these terms of service that are complex, difficult, put you to sleep, almost impossible to read, but it gives them permission to examine your computer and they get a royalty-free use license to anything you create on their product, and they can examine it to make sure you don't have hate speech. And now we're talking about central bank digital currency. Mike, do you want to explain a little bit? Because you've been working with the state legislatures on central bank digital currency.
Yeah, we know we see this happening already in China with social credit scores and everything else. We just talked about these overreaching terms of service agreements and how they control what you can and can't do with it. Now imagine being able to do that with your money. So you go to buy a hamburger and they know your cholesterol is too high and you can't get the hamburger, you get a salad. You have a car that has too much carbon output, you're only allowed to buy 2 gallons of gas this week. The ability to lose control of your economic liberty and to be controlled by a central bank digital currency is a scary proposition.
You go to pay your tithe at a church and they said, no, that church, they said marriage is between man and woman. It's hate-filled church, hate speech.
Yep,
you can't do that.
Your CBDC is no good here. So we better have an alternative or a parallel system that allows people to be able to give to the things they want to give to be able to spend on the things they want to spend on, to allow for economic liberty. And thankfully, in Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution, and you so brilliantly made this simple, Kevin, in the book Pirate Money, we have the Pirate Money Clause where states can literally take back that power and implement their own legal tender, gold and silver, transactional gold and silver, on a state basis and give us that economic liberty and that freedom as we see this thing coming down. Because if it happens, and I'm afraid it's coming more quickly than many of us realize, but once that happens and we lose that, we've lost our ability to really do anything. That's the ultimate in control.
Well, and the states have to push back. The federal government has a right to coin money according to the Constitution. They've deemed that they're going to do central bank digital currencies. We're going to have a vote at the federal level that's coming up. We have the Harris team that says that they're in favor of central bank digital currencies, and we have the Trump side that says that they oppose them, and you're going to get a vote in that. But it's probably inevitable that you have money that has terms of service, meaning that if you're the term of service might be that if you're past a certain age, you can't use it, or if you're under a certain age, you can't use it. You know, all the rules and regulations, just imagine bureaucrats being able to control how much soda you can drink, how many cups of coffee you can have. If you're the wrong skin color, maybe you can't get education, but the right skin color can. Maybe if you're the wrong gender, or maybe you use the wrong pronouns, you get money taken away from. These are all terms of service. The problem with a state is a state can push back on those, but it's very complicated, and the courts have not deemed if a state can successfully deny the federal government to control the money supply. Thank goodness for the founders who put in a clause, Article 1, Section 10, you mentioned it, Mike, that says a state can make gold and silver coin, and you're working with state legislators who believe in individual liberty and don't want any of these terms of service nonsense in here, and so they're writing in rules that say you can't do central bank digital currency type stuff. Is that right?
Absolutely. And in Texas, we were just working the Republican platform, Texas Republican platform, and they included some of this language within their platform technology. In fact, transactional gold and silver made it in the top 10 strategic priorities, and they got language in there, the right to use gold, silver, cash, and cash substitutes. The state of Texas should protect that money and its use from capital gains taxation at both the state and federal level. No government shall prohibit or encumber the ownership or holding of any form or amount of money or other currency. We support a ban on any form of social credit system based on programmable, trackable digital currencies, including central bank digital currencies. So we've got planks within the platform. And again, this is bipartisan because we're also seeing support on the Democratic side with Democratic legislators to say we want there to be equal weights and measures. We want fair value. We want privacy. We want transactional gold and silver to be a reality. And we also had a proposition on the ballot where 76.5% of people that voted on Proposition 7.
I like 77.
Yeah, 77 is a good number. All right.
It's two sevens. We like sevens.
A majority of the people voted and said, yeah, we want access to the Texas Bullion Depository with a debit card to be able to spend our gold and silver out there.
How many people? It was over a million people, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think it was 1.6 million, something like that.
1.6 million Texas in a primary. You know, I grew up in Oklahoma. 1.6 million is more than half the population. I mean, that would win every single election every time you had 1.6 million. This was in a Republican primary where pretty much everybody was settled. We knew Trump was going to get the nomination on the Republican side and so forth. That is an amazing statistic. Few states could rival that.
And it's all organic. Again, no marketing, anything else. That's just word of mouth. Yeah, this was a good idea. Let's get this done. And that's why we're seeing so much momentum now, I think, in the Texas legislature, but all these other states that have reached out to us. Like I said, we were 25, 26, I think two or three more in the last several months have been coming on board. So we're probably pushing up closer to 30 now that are looking at this and saying, how do we make this happen? Because unlike terms of service, where it's, you know, we've got our watches and electronics and it's kind of too late, it's not too late yet to take advantage of that Article 1, Section 10 and make this happen.
Well, if you want to get rid of your watch and buy another watch, you have to have money to do it. But you can find another watch. It doesn't have go back to a Timex or if you're wealthy, get a Rolex. You can get a watch that doesn't have a term of service. You can go and find some of these things, but you can't do it if you can't control your own money.
Yeah.
Well, it's not your money with central bank digital currency. It's the government's or the central bank's money, and you get permission to use it if they like what you're doing. But pirate money. I met some of these legislators. They came out here and they said, we absolutely believe in freedom. There is no way we're going to put in something that would have CBDC-like qualities. We'll allow electronic transfer so that you can have modern and convenient. But if you want to write a check on it, if you want to physically hold the gold and silver, you can do that. We're going to go back to a gold and silver economy just like the founders did, and we'll just make it modern and convenient. And I use it. Now, I have to admit, I've got terms of service. I've used Glint, and with the CEO, Jason Cousins, was out here from Glint, and it's a wonderful company, but because it's a private company, they have to protect themselves and put terms of service in. But if it's a state, they can write the terms of service so they're equitable and fair, not favoring big companies, not favoring big banks, but actually favoring the citizens who vote. And I think that's a big differentiator.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's huge. And, you know, just the ability to, you know, you think of money with the terms of service and a central bank digital currency, I can't think of anything that's scarier. But to have an alternative that I believe is for such a time as this, that the founders knew to put that in the Constitution. They hated fiat currency. They saw what happened to other nations as they debased and devalued their currency. And they did not want that to happen here. And now the states and you, if you're a listener of this show, and you're just like, is my state on this? Go to transactionalgold.com and you can see more about which states are participating in that. But if you want your state or legislator to learn more about this and get it done in your state, have them reach out to us. We want to help get this across the finish line of as many states as possible. And we see these states all saying, hey, we want to work together on this. And that can be on its own be a huge economy.
As a choice, as an option. Mm-hmm. You told the group. The ripcord answer is, it's just another way to pay. You should have a choice. If you don't like your credit card terms, they charge you 25% interest, or they make you pay too fast or too, you know, whatever the credit card terms, they charge too high a fee, whatever, you can switch credit cards. You can't switch money until now. This is a way that you can have your own money. It will be issued by the state. It'll be based in gold and silver. It can never be fractionalized and lent out. It can never be, you know, beaten by inflation. It always holds its value. This is an amazing thing. So that's one important way to push back. Pirate money, you can learn more at piratemoneybook.com or transactionalgold.com to see what we're doing there, or Pirate Money Radio, go there and get updated on all the programs we're doing. But there's another solution that I just found. I'm kind of excited about. It's called a Terms of Service Tracker. And the address for that is TOS, Terms of Service, back.org. It's a beta site, but it's very helpful. And we can start to track these terms of services. When we have control of our own money, and you have the ability to stand up together and say, hey, look, we like the convenience of an Apple Watch or a nice phone or a nice computer. We like that convenience. We want Microsoft. We want you to make money. You're making our lives better. But let's make these terms of service more equitable. And you might have to elect a non-lawyer for president. I mean, Kamala Harris was a prosecutor in California and put some people in jail. One guy on death row. Oh, my gosh. It's just tragic. And all of that, but maybe a business person in the White House.
But this is getting back to the small ships, which you always talk about on Economic War Room and on this radio station. This is all of us standing together, working together so we can give Main Street America back their voice. So with this group here, this is somebody where, you know, maybe we combine this with some of the legislative network that we're building now to help get this message across. We partner with companies like this. But we stand together, you know, millions of Americans saying this is important to us and we get our voice back.
Yeah, we're promoting liberty, security, and values. Here's a good business idea. Build a great software program and then put equitable terms of service associated with it. You know, fair, just fair. And then advertise that you have fair terms of service. I think in a free market, that's a winning value proposition.
Yeah, absolutely. We've seen even on John Deere and stuff like that, where they were like, oh, you got a terms of service on your tractors now. Farmers can't work on it. They're pushing back. That makes a difference as people start pushing back.
They pushed back on John Deere's DEI policies, too, yeah. And they're successful. Look, it's Pirate Money Radio. We promote liberty, security, and values. If you have questions, send them to us at afr@piratemoneyradio.com. This is Kevin Freeman, and it's Pirate Money. We'll see you next week.